going on a journey, he called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gave 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of both servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be seeping and gnashing of teeth. World of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Madeline. Today we're going to be talking about testing. How many of you like tests? Yeah, I didn't see too many hands. A few. Okay. Yeah, I kind of like tests if I know the answers. You know, last week I told you that we were starting a sermon series, and it's about living a life worthy of the Lord. And some of the examples I'm pulling from are from a wonderful book by Robert Morris. It's called The Blessed Life. And I had to laugh when he talked about tests. He talked about when he was younger and he would go to a class and we'd walk in the class and somebody would say, hey man, you ready for the test? And his normal response was, test? What test? You know, sometimes I think we're like that too. And you know what? I think sometimes God's children are like that. We live our lives the way we want to live it, and then we're surprised that there's a test. And yet God has been very upfront that there will be tests. In fact, in the Bible, 452 times it talks about tests. Yeah, but it's not like a pop quiz where God's trying to get us or anything, and it's nothing like that. He tells us up front that there will be tests. He tells us that there will be some. And he tells us why he's doing it, and it's for our own good. And he gives us the answer. He tells us, you know, what we need to do to pass the test. And so he's trying to make it easy because he wants us all to pass, and he wants us to pass with flying colors. You know, and all it takes to pass is to listen to God's voice and do what is right. In fact, in Exodus 15, verse 25, it says, there the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees. And then he goes on and tells how he's going to protect and how he's going to bless you if you're doing what is right. You know, and it's that part in there that talks about doing what is right in God's eyes. And that reminded me in Judges. In the book of Judges, it talks about all the things that people did and where they got into trouble. And it was because, it says, this scripture is actually twice in there. It says, in those days, Israel was without a king. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, they weren't looking to God and they didn't have anyone to advise them of what was right. And some of them didn't necessarily try to do wrong, but they were trying to do what was right in their own eyes. And believe me, we can't always know what's right. And that's where they got into trouble. And God tests us, but he tests us because he loves us. And he wants to bless us. And he wants to protect us and to guide us and teach us and to make sure that we're taken care of. You know, this test, you know, is a matter of teaching us to trust him. And when we trust God, then we'll obey what he's asking us to do. You know, often one of the ways that God tries to get us to trust him is in what he provides to us, that we'll trust that he will take care of us. And why would God not provide for us? I mean, if you think about it, he created us, he loves us. Of course he's going to provide for us. You know, we may not always know how he's going to provide, but he will provide for us. And often he gives us things, and it's a test to see how we will use what he gives us. You know, in fact, in Exodus 16, verse 4, it's when the Lord's speaking to Moses, and he says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day, and in this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And so the deal was that every single day, you know, God would provide for them, and he wanted them to go out and gather just for that day. And part of that was because he wanted them to look to him to provide the next day. He didn't want them to go out and gather more. In fact, when they did gather more and try to hold on to it, then the next morning they woke up and it was full of maggots. Does that sound pretty unappetizing? That it's full of maggots because they didn't follow God's instructions? And it wasn't that God couldn't provide it where it would last longer, because actually on the sixth day, he would say, gather for 2 days, because on the seventh day, another one of his tests and instructions is to spend that day worshiping me. And so he didn't want them out gathering on that day. So God was trying to test and see if they would follow his instructions. You know, God owns everything. Everything belongs to him, and everything that we have comes from him. And sometimes we forget that. You know, sometimes we think that we've earned it. And in fact, in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, it says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It's not us. It's from God that gives that to us. You know, so since everything comes from God, he wants us to recognize that it's coming from him, and he wants us to thank him. And the way that we thank him is by giving back the tithe. The tithe is the first tenth, and he wants that back. You know, in the book of Malachi, the book is about coming back to God. And so one of the most famous scriptures about, you know, coming back to God comes from Malachi. And understand up front that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So this applies to us. And so beginning in verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. And pay attention as we go through this. You're going to see this is all from the Lord Almighty. This isn't a pastor saying this. This is the Lord Almighty saying it. And so he talks about, you know, how to return. And he says, but you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And now this is where he gives us the answer of what we need to do. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is God's house, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. You know, normally he's testing us, but he's saying, you can test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. And he goes on to say, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So he's making it really simple. He's just saying, you know, here's the test, and here's the answers. And if you pass, you get blessings. And if you don't do what I'm telling you to, then you're under a curse. And all he wants is 10% back to him. He's saying, you can do whatever you want to with the other 90%. You know, he wants us to be good stewards with it. But he says, I want you to be faithful in giving back to me the 10% that belongs to me. And if you don't bring the whole 10% back to me, then you're stealing from me. You know, actually, I think it's pretty ingenious that God said a percentage instead of setting some amount up there, because that percentage is even for all of us. You know, whether it's a child with their allowance, it's still 10%. If it's somebody getting minimum wage, it's still 10%. If you're a Fortune magazine multimillionaire, it's still 10%. God says, give me the first tenth, the 10%. And I would much rather give the 10% and for the 90% that I get to keep to be blessed than to try to hold on to 100% and for it to be cursed. And pay attention, God didn't say, I'm going to curse you. He said, you are cursed. Because basically, if we didn't give that 10% to God, what we're really saying is, God, you're not first in my life. And as we talked about last week, when God is not first, then everything else in our life doesn't fall in the place it should be. And so we end up being cursed. And I don't know why God chose one-tenth. I mean, he could have chose half. And what if he'd said, give me half of everything that I give you? Or a fourth, but he chose one-tenth. And now this is where I really liked Robert Morris's book, because he pointed out something that I hadn't recognized before, that in the Bible, the number 10 is associated with test. So I want you to respond and help me on this. When Pharaoh was tested as far as letting the Israelites go, how many plagues were there? 10. All right. How many commandments did Moses receive up on Mount Sinai? All right. You're going to notice a pattern to this, even if you don't know all these stories as well. How many times were the Israelites tested in the wilderness? All right. How many times were Jacob's wages changed? 10. All right. How many days was Daniel tested? How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? In the book of Revelation, how many days of testing are there? How many disciples are there? All right, that was a test. There's 12. There's not 10. Just trying to see if you're paying attention. You know, I don't know why God chose 10. But what I can tell you is that he is consistent from Genesis all the way through the New Testament. God was very consistent in saying, I want you to give me back my tithe. And that's the first tenth. And you bring that to me, and he warns us that if we don't, we're going against him. And it's the way that God measures our heart. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, God talks about that he's testing us in order to know what is in our heart. And he says, whether or not you will keep my commands. So it's a heart issue. That's why God's really doing it. Not for any other reason, but he wants to test our heart. And if you look at the memory verse that is in the bulletin for this week, you know, it's the same thing. This is one of those red letter lines that's in the New Testament where Jesus is saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's a heart issue of whether we will do what God is asking us to do. Because he wants to test us. And can you stop for just a moment? Can you imagine how incredible this church would be if every member tithed? The number of staff that we could put on full time, the number of facilities, the number of missions, the number of evangelism things we could do, the preschool building that we could build, the family life center, the things we could be doing in the community, all the things we could be doing. And it's not as much the money as it is the fact that our hearts would be in the right place. I want to read to you from 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah is the king in that time. And to be honest, that nation of Israel was not doing well as Hezekiah came in because the kings before him had not been doing what was right in God's eyes. But yet Hezekiah comes in, and one of the things he does is he tells the people, after reading what they're supposed to be doing, he says, we were supposed to be bringing the tithes in to the Lord's house. And so he tells the people to bring the tithes in to the church, into the temple. And so they start bringing it in. And after a couple months, he goes out to see the priest to see how things are going. And he walks in, and there are heaps and heaps of things that people have brought. And he's actually kind of caught off guard. He goes, oh, there's way too much here. And he knew how much trouble the people were in before, and he thinks they must have given everything they have, you know, or there wouldn't be so much. And he asked the priest about it. So I'm reading in 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, in verses 9 and 10. And so Hezekiah asked the priest, and their response is, since the people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare because the Lord blessed his people and this great amount is left over. See, they started giving to God and God started blessing them and they brought more and God blessed them more and they brought more and God blessed them more and it was just unbelievable, the momentum. Because God has told us, I will bless you if you will abide by my commands. I want to close with an example. So I need some volunteers. I need three volunteers. Any? Donna? Okay. I can call otherwise. Stand up, Donna. Okay, Katie. All right, Billy. All right. I don't need one of you. So, Rick, you can sit down. All right. So, we've got Katie and Billy and Donna. All right. It was good for you to stand up because I'm going to give y'all money. So, now everybody else wishes they had stood up. So, here's the deal. I'm going to go away for a little while, for a few months. So, each month, I'm going to give each of you $1,000. Is that good? You like that? Okay, so each of you, I'm going to give you $1,000 each month, but there's only one catch to this. I need you to take care of my children. So if you don't mind, if you'll give my children $100 each month, then the rest of it you can keep. The rest of it, $900, you get to keep each month. So can y'all all do that? You'll be faithful in that? Okay. All right. So I go away, and I'm gone for a little while, and I'm talking to my kids all the time, but I happen to kind of forget about setting this up where y'all are doing this. And a few months into it, I contact them and say, hey, by the way, I had some of my good friends that were going to take care of y'all. Have you seen anything come from them? And so they say, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, Donna, every month, at the first of the month, we get $100 from Donna. On the very first day, she gives it to us. I think, yay, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I knew I could count on her. And so I said, okay, so how's everything else going? And they said, well, also, each month we've gotten $200 from Katie. I didn't expect $200 from Katie, but yay, that's good. I'm glad she's taking extra good care of you. And I said, okay, so anything else? They say, well, yeah, the first month we got $70 from Billy. And the second month we got $30 from him, but we hadn't heard from him this third month. Wait a minute. I gave Billy that money. So now let me ask you, how do you think that makes me feel, knowing that I gave them each the money and all I asked them to do was be faithful in this one thing? I mean, those are my kids. You know, Jesus responded to this in Luke, and he said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So let me ask you, the next month, should I still give all three of them $1,000? Or do you think I'm more than likely going to say, I'm going to give the extra money to the two that I can trust? I'm going to give it to Katie and to Donna. You know, because why would I keep giving it to Billy if he's not going to take care of my kids? And think about this. This is very personal to me. These are my kids. They're important to me. I love them. So don't you think that it's very personal to God when he gives us anything? Because he loves his son, and he loves the body of Christ, which is the church. And he loves his children. And so it is a personal thing. You know, it's a test, and it's a test about trust. In the first place, we've got to know that we can trust God, and believe me, we can. And if we know that, then we can be obedient. But God also has to know that he can trust us. That whatever he gives us, that we're going to be faithful, even in that small percent, to give back to him. And it's a test, and it's not a test at the end of our lives, though I do think at the end of our lives we stand before God and we're going to have to answer some things. But this is one of those tests that we have lots of opportunities to pass, because we always have something coming into us. And each time it comes into us, we have a chance to make a decision of, am I going to pass the test? Am I going to give back to God what is his portion? Now, how many of you get paid weekly? Anybody? Anybody every 2 weeks? You know, twice a month? All right, how about once a month? And for some, it's when you finish big jobs or certain projects, or when you sell the cattle or the harvest comes in, and that's when you get paid. Each time, that's a chance for the test. And it's your chance to pass the test by being faithful. I'm going to close by sharing one other thing that was just really strange. Last night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it just hit me that some people wake up every single day and they get the maggots because they were trying to hold on to what was God's, and they've done it for so long and never been faithful in tithing, and so they don't know any differently. They don't know that it's right in God's eyes for us to give. And often I think we manage things based on what we think is right, and we think it's the best way to take care of our family and take care of stuff, and we try to manage all that, but we're not doing what's right in God's eyes. And it's not that we're bad or mean or anything else. We're missing out on His blessings. And maybe no one's made it clear to you, but we're living with the same old thing, thinking this is all there is, and God has so much more for us than maggots every morning because we were trying to hold on to part of it that we shouldn't have. Now, my greatest desire for all of us is that we experience all that God has for us, and that's one reason I'm preaching about this at the first of this year, because I truly think that we can all have so much more of what God wants for us. And I don't want anyone to miss out, because I want us all to pass the test and to live lives worthy of the Lord. Let's pray. Glorious God, You know our hearts. And Lord, sometimes we think we're doing what's right. We think, I'm a pretty good person. But we miss out on some of those things that You've clearly instructed us on. And Lord, help us not to miss out. Because when we do, we're missing out on You and experiencing who You are. And Lord, we do want to give You our hearts. We do want to put You first in our lives. And You've said, test me in this. Lord, help us to test You. Help us to trust You completely. And know that You provide everything that we need. And we're so much better off being blessed by You because we're faithful than trying to hold on to things and do it our way. Lord, help us to surrender it all to You. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is I Surrender All. We're going to sing the first and second verses. It's in United Methodist Hymnal number 354. Please stand.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely.
My prayer for each of you as you go from here is that you would listen to God's voice and do what's right in His eyes so that you may know the Lord in all of His glory. Blessings to each of you. Amen.